people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my rock?
Now the N is for not, or no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish it didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Bukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, March 12, 2012. Israeli jet fighters continue to bombard Gaza. Death toll reaches 23 since Friday, while soldiers injure 11 political detainees during a shakedown. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Mohammed al-Hassoumi, 65, and his daughter Fawzia, 30, died on Monday midday when Israeli fighter jets targeted a group of civilians in Beit Lahia town, northern Gaza Strip. Earlier on Monday, a 15-year-old school student, identified as Naif Shaban Karmut, killed and six other children were wounded, three seriously, when an Israeli warjet fired a missile at a school students playing near a gas station in a Shuja'iyah area west of Gaza City. Meanwhile, two fighters of Al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of the Islamic Jihad, were killed when the Israeli army carried out a series of airstrikes on Monday at dawn targeting the southern part of the Gaza Strip, Gaza City, and the northern part of the coastal region. Palestinian groups in Gaza continued to fire homemade rockets at Israeli areas near the Gaza borders in response to the continued attacks. Israeli sources reported no injuries today. Late on Sunday night and after midnight, 35 Palestinians, most of them are women and children, were injured in a number of Israeli attacks targeting several areas in Gaza. They were all moved to local hospitals, suffering mild to moderate injuries, while one of them is in a serious condition. The latest round of escalation started after the Israeli army assassinated on Friday leader of the armed resistance group in Gaza, the Popular Resistance Committees, and his assistants. In other news, Israeli soldiers broke on Monday at dawn into Ascalon prison and attacked dozens of Palestinian political prisoners, wounding 11, one seriously. The soldiers tried to force several detainees to submit to naked body search. In a letter that was leaked from Ascalon prison, the detainees stated that the attack was carried out at 5 a.m. and that dozens of soldiers broke into their rooms and violently attacked them before trying to force some of them to fully undress. Detainees further stated that 11 detainees were wounded, one seriously, and that the situation remains fragile as the army appears to be preparing for another assault. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Monday, March 12th Daily News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. Join us again tomorrow for more news and updates. Visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Ghassan Barmoura.
Afghanistan. Yesterday, an American soldier walked out of his base and went house to house murdering civilians. He killed 16 people, 9 of them children, in Panjwa district, Kandahar province. Many of the bodies were then set on fire. Anar Gula, an elderly neighbor of some of the victims, reported, quote, "All of the family members were killed, the dead put in a room, blankets were put over the corpses and they were burned." Within hours, 300 people, some displaying the burned blankets on motorbikes, gathered to protest outside Camp Mellon Bay in Kandahar. The Army Staff Sergeant responsible for this crime has surrendered, but it is unlikely that U.S. forces will agree to surrender him to Afghan authorities to face justice for his crime. At least six Afghan witnesses, however, reported seeing more than one soldier, flares, and a helicopter. Other Afghan witnesses contradicted this account, with some news services speculating that they might have been soldiers sent to catch the gunmen. This incredibly ugly and incredibly brutal crime comes just weeks after the burning and desecration of the Quran by U.S. troops at Bagram Air Base, the site of the notorious U.S.-run detainee prison. Weeks before that, U.S. Marines pissed on the bodies of Afghan dead. These three incidents together may prove to be the turning point of the entire war. With Afghanistan on the verge of an explosion, even Newt Gingrich is calling for the removal of all U.S. forces from the country. Afghanistan today. The Taliban has warned of reprisals sure to come for yesterday's shooting rampage. U.S. forces say they are expecting the same. Nothing has happened yet as this is being recorded, but that's just the sea going out before a great tsunami of retaliation hits U.S. forces. As of now, the BBC is reporting that angry crowds have gathered outside U.S. bases. Afghanistan, Saturday. The Taliban fired two rockets into Bagram Air Base, site of the notorious so-called secret prison and site of the Quran burning incident. Iraq, ongoing. There has been a wave of anti-gay murders and attacks on emo youth to the point that some have had to cut off their long hair and others have had to stay home to avoid being murdered. Meanwhile, Muqtada al-Sadr has endorsed this violence, sounding like an American preacher in the 1950s or the 1980s in the process, as have other enemies of gay and emo kids. Even the accusation of Satan worship, commonly made in the United States against counterculture kids under Ronald Reagan, has now reappeared in Iraq. None of this sort of thing happened before American soldiers invaded Iraq. Now it has grown into a storm of homophobic violence. Somehow I doubt that bothers George W. Bush very much. Mr. Barack Obama, U.S. occupation of Iraq made things worse, not better, and surely the same can be expected in Afghanistan. I never thought I would be in agreement with Newt Gingrich, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. Now is the time to pull the plug, bring all the troops home from Afghanistan. The U.S. has in just 2 months slaughtered the living, desecrated the dead, burned the Quran in Afghanistan, and the country's had enough. This war is finished.
Pakistani detainee Abdul Majid weighed 154 pounds when he was taken into custody by intelligence agents 18 months ago. Today he weighs only 88 pounds, is extremely weak, and suffers from kidney problems. In an unprecedented hearing, Majid and several other detainees appeared before Pakistan's Supreme Court. The High Court had ordered Pakistan's Secret Inter-Service Intelligence, or ISI, spy agency to produce detainees who they seized in 2010 after the men were acquitted of terrorism charges stemming from attacks against Pakistani military installations. The detainees remain in ISI custody. The court learned that four of the 11 men in the group had died in custody, and if it rules that these men were illegally detained and or tortured, the ISI agents involved could be held criminally liable. According to the Los Angeles Times, for many years the ISI and Pakistan's military have operated beyond the reach of civilian law and remained unaccountable for their actions. Human rights activists have long suspected that the ISI and other security agencies regularly abducted citizens without legal cause. So the hearing before Pakistan's Supreme Court was historic and a sign of a growing role by the courts in monitoring the nation's security agencies. However, Tariq Assad, the detainee's lawyer, asserted that criminal sanctions against the ISI were unlikely. "Nobody has ever dared to do that," Assad said. He is focusing solely on gaining the release of the long-imprisoned men.
The GOP primaries for the 2012 presidential election are beginning to take on an ugly sectarian undertone. We've got violently anti-gay and anti-birth control activist Rick Santorum attacking Barack Obama, a sitting president, for being the wrong kind of Christian. The only other country I know of where this kind of sectarian religious attack is being made on a head of state where any member of his cabinet is a rock, where Prime Minister Maliki, a Shiite, is trying to have the Sunni vice president arrested. If the 2012 election in the U.S. turns on sectarian issues, both GOP frontrunners will have a problem. The last Catholic U.S. president was Kennedy, but he did not need a single vote from GOP Southern fundamentalist Protestant Christians to get elected. Mitt Romney, a Mormon, would be rejected by a lot of Southern Baptists and other so-called evangelicals as not being a Christian at all, while Santorum, being a Catholic, would have to overcome bigotry by some fundamentalist Protestants that regard the Catholic Bible as satanic or worse. Maybe that's why Santorum is campaigning so aggressively on anti-women and anti-birth control issues, so beloved of the religious right, to get ahead of the sectarian problem? If so, I don't know what the elephant in the room is smoking. Some kind of hashish, I suppose, but I do not want to hit on it. And I hope to God it goes out before November.